Okay, so as we transition, I know there's another story that's my favorite, and that's about your crew that supported you. So I'd, before I get you to tell that story, I'd like to get Scott, the producer, to switch to the producing room where we are, so you folks out front can see where I am. Scott Guyatt on the far end here is the producer, and the entire Sleeping Dog crew, their talent and professionalism makes this possible, and this room is unbelievable. It's always a pleasure to work with them. So with that transition, Bud, would you tell us about your crew? Because I'm very, very proud of the entire crew that makes Warbirds and Review possible.
Well, I selected my crew chief while we were in training, flying the old P-39s, old beat up P-39s. And they were pretty crummy airplanes. And, you know, the gun sight is right here and right up against the armor glass there. And the combining glass is so close that you can't keep it clean. And so Otto came to me one time there. He says, "Hey, what could I do to this airplane to make it better for you?" And I said, "Well, you know, Otto," I told him about the gun sight and the dust and crud. "It's right in the center of your vision, too." And I figured you'd probably have to take the gun sight out, clean it up, clean the windshield, and put it back in. If you did that, you'd have to refire the guns at the firing pits, resight the gun to the actual point in space. And so I knew it was work intensive. And I came back in the morning and I was going to fly again. And I came out here and I look at this windshield and gun sight are just crystal clear. I said, "Otto, how'd you do that?" He said, "Oh, I got a turkey feather and I was able to get around it, clean it out and everything." He was pretty ingenious. They would change the spark plugs on the P-51 every mission. And the ones on the inside of the V are very difficult to get to. And we had reconditioned plugs and we had brand new plugs in the supply. Well, Otto went over to Air Corps Supply and found another Finnish guy. And he says, "Hey, separate these things and keep the brand new plugs for me, for my airplane." And it's just incredible what they would think of. But the thing I really want to tell you about is my second tour. I had a brand new D model, P-51D. I'd been flying a B up until now. And I got most of my kills in a B with a fixed sight. Well, it was camouflaged to the dark green all over. Now, my second tour started in the fall of 44, and we had quit worrying about what they were painted like. We had silver, all aluminum paint schemes, all dark camo, and we had mixed airplanes, half and half. So I'm no, and we're not thinking too much about whether you're camouflaged or not. Spring of 1944 is when we broke the back of the Blue Fall. And it was, I don't know, it just seemed like, now that I think about it, we didn't see as many airplanes. And they weren't as skilled either. So we're on this mission, and the first big snow had hit Germany. It just blanketed it. And so you could pretty well figure we're going to have snow from now on. I'm going to finish my tour in the winter. So I'm looking down at the snow, and there's two camouflaged airplanes flying and two natural aluminum airplanes. Well, which one stuck out the most? The one that was camouflaged. So when I got back, Otto had been promoted, and he was a line chief now. He had six airplanes to look after. But he was always there to see me off, and he was always there when I returned. And he handpicked my new crew chief. So when I got back, they were all there. Otto, my new crew chief, my armor. And they want to know what happened, what was going on. I said, well, there was no enemy airplanes. But let me tell you, I was looking at these camouflaged airplanes against the snow, and I was looking at the silver airplanes against the snow. Now, I knew I was going to finish in the winter. So I mentioned that it sure would be nice if you could depaint my airplane after, when it was laid up for heavy maintenance. I figured it'd take a couple of days and put it in the natural aluminum paint scheme. Oh, then they acknowledged my request, and I left. I was the operations officer then. I said, I think I'll go fly tomorrow, next minute, put my name on the board. And went home and didn't think about it much after that. But the morning I got my breakfast, and we got our big briefing over in headquarters for the mission. And then I went down to our squadron. And my airplane was right next to the operations building in a revetment. And so I could walk out to it. I didn't have to wait for the truck. So I thought I'd go out a little early, maybe talk to the guys. And I climb up over the revetment, and I'm up on top looking down. My God, there's a pristine aluminum Opal Crow. Those guys had started working on it the moment that I left the night, the afternoon before, worked straight through the night and had it ready to go, but in a natural aluminum paint scheme. They were kind of standing there half at attention and kind of grinning. And I thought about it. I said, good God, did those guys think, did I give them a direct order to paint, depaint that airplane that night? And then I thought about it a little bit. No, that was the way they could make their contribution to the war effort. You know, they weren't there over there, but they weren't doing the dying. And they just wanted to please us so bad. They just would do anything for you. And that's kind of the way support was. I can't remember being short anything over there. That would include cigarettes and whiskey, if you want to call that as a necessity. And I can't say enough about the crew chiefs of the world. And if you guys have crew chiefs, pat them in the back once in a while. They really appreciate that.
Thank you, Bud. As usual, that's always a heartfelt story, and we always enjoy hearing that. And it doesn't matter if it's keeping the airplanes going or any support crew, as we have here at Warbirds in Review. I know that you have your daughter Kitty there with you, who is your support crew to help us hook up this Zoom today. So our thanks to Kitty and your son Jim that's normally here with you. And to all the volunteers, I say once again, and we do have another video to show that was pre-recorded that the Sleeping Dog Productions also did for the Arsenal of Democracy, but we won't hold you on board. I know you know what you say. So you've been on this Zoom for quite a while, and we really appreciate you, Bud, more than you will ever know. And I will tell the people here in the audience that we have your book. Although you're not here to sign it in person, you have signed the books and have sent them to Warbirds, so they are available over in merchandise. So if you people out there would like to buy what I think is the best book of reflections of World War II, it's To Fly and Fight by Colonel Bud Anderson, and they are signed over in the bookstore here at Warbirds. And Bud, thank you for being here. We love you, and we'll see you next year, and all the best.